We're in Acts chapter 28 today. Acts chapter 28. And we're going to read the whole chapter. We're going to close out the book of Acts today. Beginning in verse 1. After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the native people saw this, saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery. And Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were all about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. After 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria with the twin gods as figureheads. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days, and from there we made a circuit and arrived at Regium. And after 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day, we came to Puteoli. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days, and so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier that guarded him. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are. For with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." When they appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in great numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their eyes they can barely hear, and their ears they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and then I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen.' He lived there for 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. Father, fill me with your spirit. Speak to your people. Draw us near to yourself and to one another. Speak life to those who need the life of Jesus and the forgiveness that He alone offers. It is in His name I pray. Amen. I heard a story about an older couple that was sitting around one evening watching television. And the wife got up and she was heading to the kitchen and she said to her husband, "Honey, you want any ice cream?" And the husband said, "Well, you know, yeah, I'd like some ice cream. Could you put a little chocolate syrup on that?" And she said, "Sure." And then the husband said, "Honey, you know, you've been kind of forgetful lately. Why don't you write that down?" And the wife got a little bit angry and she said, "Honey, I can remember to put syrup on your ice cream." And he said, I think you better write it down." And she marched into the kitchen. Well, about 20 minutes later, she came back. And she brought out a plate of bacon and eggs. And she put it before him. And the husband said, "Honey, I told you, you probably should write this down. I told you I didn't want bacon with my eggs, but sausage." Bad joke, I know, but sometimes we need help in remembering and sometimes we need help in listening, don't we? We need help in remembering and listening. We have trouble hearing each other or trouble hearing others. Another tragic shooting occurred in our nation in Oregon this week. And some of the reports indicate the gunman sent signals he was going to do something dramatic on that Thursday. An article I read said federal law enforcement officials told the New York Times they were examining online conversation on the anonymous message board 4chan that was posted the night before the shooting. In that conversation, one writer said, "Some of you guys are all right. Don't go to school tomorrow if you are in the Northwest." The post made no mention of the shooting at Umpqua Community College or Roseburg, but it did include a photo crudely drawn of a frog with a gun used regularly in internet memes. The message that followed spoke of mass shootings with some egging on and even offering tips to the original. But you see, no one really heard what the guy was saying, did they? Or if they did, they surely ignored it. Maybe they thought he was teasing or just talking. No one took seriously his online comments, because even though they read and they heard what he said, they listened, they didn't really hear. You see, hearing is more than just listening to what's said. It's understanding and responding correctly to it. And I've discovered I don't always hear so well. My wife will tell you about it, but won't get into that. But anyway, as I was studying the final chapter of the book of Acts this week, the theme of hearing seemed to come out, especially toward the end of the chapter. John Pohill wrote the New American Commentary on Acts, and he said this: "The quote from Isaiah refers to hearing three times, and its whole point is that hearing is not really hearing at all if the message is not acted upon." You see, you don't really hear what someone says until you act correctly to what they're saying. You don't really hear the voice of God from the Scripture by His Holy Spirit until you respond and act upon what He's saying. Paul arrives in Rome on his journey from Caesarea after the shipwreck at Malta. On his way there, he's greeted by Roman believers. And in Rome, he witnesses to the Jewish leaders. And from this final passage of the book of Acts, we see this truth for every generation, that we are to really hear, to heed the voice of God as He speaks to us by His Holy Spirit through His Word. We are to heed the voice of God as He speaks to us by His Holy Spirit through His Word. We're not just to be listeners of God's message, but doers of the message, as James says. We're not just to be hearers of God's word, but heeders, doers of God's word. I see in this passage four things, four ways to heed the word of God. that we are to heed the word of God. First of all, we're to heed the promises of God. We find Paul on the island of Malta. Some said that that in some languages could be translated refuge, because it truly was a refuge. They had been 2 weeks on the raging sea, and then they were shipwrecked on this island of Malta. You know, it's very interesting that the island of Malta was actually on the course from Caesarea to Rome. That is, they would have actually, if the ship would have sailed where it was supposed to have sailed, they would have actually sailed by Malta and maybe even stopped there. Even though the ship had no navigational ability during the storm, they found themselves directly where God wanted them to be. Well, Paul reached the island. The islanders were very hospitable, and they provided a fire to warm up the people who had survived the shipwreck. And Paul began to help in what needed to be done. He just went around and he gathered sticks. And as he put a bundle of sticks into the fire on that cold evening, evidently there was a viper in those bundle of sticks that was, you know, do what snakes do in the winter, kind of hibernate, sleep. And as he put the bundle in the fire, the viper was awakened by the heat, and he struck out and he bit Paul. And the people there, when they saw that, they thought, well, Paul's getting his just desserts. They thought he had escaped drowning in the sea. They assumed he was a murderer, and he had escaped drowning from the sea, but now this snake had got him. And so they expected him to swell up and die. That's what they expected. Well, they watched him, and they kept watching him for a while, and nothing happened. He didn't drop down dead. He didn't swell up. Nothing happened. Now, why? Why didn't anything happen? Some have, you read all these commentaries. Some have concluded the snake was not poisonous. But the natives of the island thought the snake was poisonous. And I figure that they would know. Why didn't Paul fall down? Well, we know the reason. Because God promised him he's going to go to Rome. Nothing was going to stop Paul. Not a hurricane-like storm. And not even a poisonous snake was going to stop Paul from getting to Rome, because God had promised him that he was going to speak to him in Rome. And so he didn't die, and the people changed their opinions about him. Paul was then invited to the home of the chief prince, and actually that's kind of a title. When you read it, it doesn't seem like that. It'd be like, representative or congressman, whatever congressman. I can't think of any congressman now. There's only 500 of them that I think of. But anyway, it's official title. And so this guy was the big shot on the island. And his name was Publius. And so he was invited into his home. And Paul, and we don't know if it was just Paul and maybe some of the Christians, maybe Cornelius, Julius, who was the centurion. And he was invited, and the man was very hospitable to Paul and his companions. And so when Paul was there, he found out that Publius's father was sick with the disease. Some called it Malta fever. They think it came because the people would drink contaminated goat's milk. But he was very sick. And you know, a fever's not like it is in our day. You know, sometimes, you know, we take things for granted. If you get the flu, we think you're going to get better. In those days, sometimes, a lot of times, you got a fever, you died from a fever. They didn't have the medicines and the things that we have today. But anyway, Paul went in. Publius' father had a fever. Paul went in and he prayed for him, and the scripture says he laid his hands on him and healed him. And then many heard about this and came to Paul, and he healed them. You see, here Paul was, shipwrecked on an island. He wasn't going anywhere till the end of the winter. And God was bringing people to him who he could show God's power and glory, and who he could share the gospel with. Tradition tells us there was actually a church started on Malta. because of Paul's ministry. God was using him. God was using him to spread the gospel, to be fruitful. And so God was keeping his promise to Paul to get him to Rome and to make him fruitful on his way there. And so you need to hold on to those promises of God. When things don't go well, hold on to the promises of God, because he will come through. I heard a story about a guy in Alaska. And he had moved up there to go to college. And, he was from the States. And, of course, it gets a lot colder in Alaska. They've already had snow in Alaska. His parents called him up and they said, we're going to send you a coat. We're going to ship one to you. Well, his friends, saw him and they saw he didn't have a coat. And he said, well, you need something? He said, no, I'm okay. It's covered. Well, the coat still wasn't there, but the young man was depending on the promise that his parents made to him. We can depend on the promises of God. You see, you need to depend on the promises of God even when you don't have what he promised him in your hands and before you. Trust in God. God will come through. Hold on to God's promises no matter what. But there's another way to heed God's word from this passage of Scripture, and that is to heed the overarching message of the Scripture. When Paul got to the final port, Puteoli, he found brothers and sisters there, and he was allowed to stay for 7 days. And then he and his companions, and I'm sure the Roman centurion Julius and his men, started with Paul to Rome. And on the way to Rome, some Christians in Rome who lived 40 miles away, they heard that Paul was coming, so they walked 40 miles to a place called the Forum of Appius. And to greet Paul, they heard he was coming, and they wanted to come and encourage Paul on his way. And so they walked 40 miles. You say, 40 miles, that's not very far. If you got to walk it, 40 miles is a long way, right? My son-in-law is in the middle of running the marathon in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and I think he's about halfway through now. But anyway, it's a long way to run 26 miles. I never understood the mentality of those who wanted to do such a thing. But anyway, 40 miles is a long way. So they walked 40 miles. And then another group walked 30 miles to a place called the Three Taverns to meet them. You see, in Roman culture, when a conquering general was coming back into Rome, the citizens would march out to where he was and escort him into the city of Rome. And the Christians here saw Paul as that conquering champion of the faith. And so they marched out to him, and they escorted him back into Rome and said, Paul, thank God, and he took courage. You see, they encouraged Paul. You know, we need to be encouragers of each other as we serve the Lord. The church ought to be encouragers. You know, sometimes people say, well, that person might become proud. I don't think we need to worry about people becoming proud. We just need to keep encouraging each other. God will take care of the proud. I'm not going to worry about that. But I do know everywhere around us, people will discourage us from living for the Lord. Your work, they're going to discourage you. Your life, maybe your family. And so we ought to be encouragers. And when we have an opportunity to encourage a brother or a sister in Christ, we need to take advantage of that opportunity. Well, they escorted Paul to Rome. When he got there, he took 3 days basically to get his house set up where he was going to be confined. He contacted the leaders, the local leaders of the Jewish synagogue. Someone said there may have been 11 or more synagogues in Rome. And he asked them to come to him, to the house that he'd rented. And then he explained the circumstances to them, why he was in Rome, and how he had to appeal to Caesar. He told them that he had no accusations to make against his nation and no ill motives toward them. He told them he was in chain. This chain that was around him was on him because of the hope of Israel. And And so he introduced himself to them and he said, I want to talk to you. I want to tell you about the hope of Israel, basically is why he invited them. And when they came, they said they had not received any bad report. Now, we don't know exactly if they were just being diplomatic or whatever. But they also said, we want to hear what you got to say. And so they appointed a time. They set up a day. And the scripture says they came to Paul. And from morning to evening, all day long, Paul opened the scripture and he told them of God's kingdom that had come in the person of Jesus. He sought to convince them from the law and the prophets, that's all of the scripture basically, of the Old Testament, he sought to convince them that Jesus was the Messiah. That even though they did not expect a Messiah to come who would suffer, that's exactly what the scripture taught. And he spent all day talking to them about the Old Testament, showing them that Jesus is the coming king that Israel had been anticipating. He talked to them about the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God was not coming, but it had already come. Because wherever the king is present, the kingdom has come. If Jesus is king of your life, the kingdom of God is present in your life today. He talked to them about Jesus' death and resurrection. He went through all of Scripture all day long to proclaim to them the message of Jesus. Because Paul knows what all of us need to know, all of Scripture points to Jesus. From the first chapter of Genesis to the very end verse of Revelation 22. From the promise of God that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head, all the way to the very end where it says, Lord Jesus, Jesus says, I'm coming soon. Scripture points to Jesus. He is the overarching message of Scripture. You know, Jesus said to some people who were disagreeing with him in John 5, you search the Scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it's they that bear witness of me. Jesus is what the Bible's all about. You miss Jesus, you missed everything. Oftentimes people will say to me, well, you know, talking to them or say, maybe not to me, but to others just in general, I don't believe the Bible. Don't believe the Bible when you're talking. Don't bring up the Bible when you're talking to me. And I understand why they would say that, and I understand why people might not believe the Bible. But I want to respond, and I want to say to them, okay, I understand you don't believe the Bible, but do you understand its primary message? A lot of people think the Bible is a list of rules and regulations and fairy tales. The Bible is about Jesus. It's not a list of rules and regulations that you need to keep to please God. The Bible is about God sending His Son Jesus to save us from our sins. That's what the Bible is all about. Do you understand the overarching message of Scripture? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is the message of Scripture. It's about God sending Jesus to us to save us from our sins. We can talk about side issues all day long and miss the overarching message of the Bible. Don't miss it. And when you're witnessing, it's not important it's not as important to convince someone of the rightness of whatever position you are taking. What they need to know is the Bible's about Jesus. That He loves them, that He wants to save them from their sin. 2 Corinthians says, He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and was raised again. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Paul said, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making His appeal to us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That is the overarching message of Scripture. Jesus and the salvation that He offers to sinful men who will believe. So heed the overarching message of Scripture. Don't get lost in the details. Don't get sidetracked by side issues. Heed the overarching message of Scripture. There's a third way to heed the overarching message of Scripture, and that's this. Heed the continual warnings of the Scripture. Paul spent all day teaching them of Jesus and his kingdom through all the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. Verse 24 says, some were convinced, but others were not. Some believed and some disbelieved. The same scripture, the same evidence was presented, but differing results occur. And I'm telling you, that's always what's going to happen. As the meeting was breaking up, Paul quoted from Isaiah about what God had said to their forefathers. He said, the Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah. Paul is talking about Scripture. And even though Isaiah penned it, it was the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit who is speaking through His Word. You see, that's the way Scripture is. All Scripture, Paul says to Timothy, is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All Scripture is God-breathed. When you read the Scripture, God wants to speak to you. His Spirit is speaking to you. That doesn't mean He approves everything that's in the Scripture. The Bible talks about polygamy, and the Bible talks about the sinful things that men do. God's not putting His stamp of approval on that stuff. He's telling it like it is. But He is trying to say, this book will tell you what about Jesus. It'll tell you the way of salvation. When you read the Scripture, you're reading the Word of God. It's different than any other thing that we possess, any other book we possess. Well, what did the Holy Spirit say to the fathers? You know, and he quotes it. It's basically verbatim from the Greek translation, the Septuagint. He said, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. The Holy Spirit was saying to them, they were always hearing but never really hearing. Always seeing but never really seeing, lest they would truly see and truly understand and have a change of heart and God would heal them. And so Paul says this to these present day Jewish leaders of Rome. God said this to your forefathers, and Paul is saying, don't let this same thing happen to you. There's a warning here. When you hear, if you do not believe, you will grow dull in hearing and hardened in your hearing. The forefathers had heard, but they did not repent. Would the same thing happen to these leaders of the synagogues of Rome? Would they continue to hear but never heed the message of the Scripture? The Scripture says if you will not believe the truth, God will allow you to believe a lie. Paul told them to heed the warnings of the Scripture. I know we're supposed to be positive all the time and never say negative things, but I want to tell you the Scripture warns us. It warns us of an eternity outside of Christ. And the descriptions are horrific and horrible. It warns them of choices we make in life that are not from God, that God tells us not to do. And it said the way of God is life and the way of rebellion against God is death. And it says if you hear His voice today, do not harden your hearts. When you hear the warnings of the Scripture, pay attention to God's warnings because life is found in God's truth and death is found when we disregard the Word of God. It's as simple as that. I grew up less than a mile from Fort Sill, Oklahoma, which is the main training facility for the artillery training of the United States Army. Our houses literally shook daily from the firing of these from the training and the firing of these weapons. I mean, you felt it. You know, people that weren't used to it would come and, what is happening, you know? So our houses shook. In my house, in my parents' house, and Carter's parents' house, in every house, In Lot, and especially those on the north side, there were cracks in the roof because of the shaking of the practicing of firing artillery by the United States Army. Well, when the soldiers were not training in that artillery range, you could actually drive through there. In fact, I rode my bike through there sometimes. You could, the nice roads, and there was the Wichita Mountains Wildlife Refuge was, it was just about 10 miles from my house to the Wichita Mountains Wildlife Refuge. And so the mountains and the lakes were out there. You could drive through there. But there were signs everywhere, do not pick up unexploded artillery shells. Leave them alone. Do not touch them. Do not mess with them. They were known as duds. Don't mess with them. Don't touch them. There were signs everywhere. In schools, in my school, Hoover Elementary was very close to the base. You know, they would warn us. People would say, don't mess with these duds. We were warned continually. Signs everywhere. But you know, I knew of two boys in my neighborhood that were killed because they messed with those duds. Two on my street. One of them, we used to play football in the street. And I came home one Saturday and there was like the army was at his house, you know. Well, he had gone out and he'd messed with one of those artillery shells that had not exploded, and he had killed himself by playing with an artillery shell. And then they went to his house and they found that he had a stash of these things that he'd actually brought home and put in his garage. So the army was there and they were getting these things out of there or disarming them. We were warned again and again and again. Don't mess with these things. And the warnings were disregarded. You ever warn your children? Don't do that. And maybe it's a stupid thing that you did when you were a youth. Say, don't make the same mistakes I did. You ever warn them? Don't mess with that. Don't go to that place. You don't do them because you don't love them. You don't do them because you're trying to mess up their fun. You are telling them there's danger. And God says to us, heed my warnings. There's danger when you disregard what I say. God's warnings are meant to save our life and provide us with that salvation. Heed the continual warnings of the Scripture. You know, God doesn't tell us do not do certain things because he's trying to mess up our fun. God's trying to give us the best life that we can have. He gives us the things, he puts the boundaries around whatever he does, whether it's sex or whether it's the property of others, because he wants us to have the best life that we can have. And if we do what he says, we will have a good life. And if we disregard himself, we can get hurt. Heed the continual warnings of the Scripture. But finally, there's one more thing I want to say to you from this passage of Scripture. Heed the unstoppable progress of the gospel. Notice how Acts ends. It doesn't tell us about Paul's hearing before Caesar. Before Nero, that's who the Roman emperor was at this time. It doesn't tell us if he's released or if he's martyred. The story ends abruptly. It says Paul lived there 2 years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and the teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. That's it. What happened to Paul? Tell us some more. I want another ending. Where's the alternate ending? It ends abruptly. It tells us he lived at his own expense, he welcomed all, he proclaimed the kingdom of God, and he taught about Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. He was a prisoner, he couldn't go anywhere. But notice something, the gospel was not chained. The gospel was not hindered. God's servants might be limited, but the gospel is not limited. The gospel had gone from Jerusalem to Rome in less than 30 years, in around 30 years. Those who preached it were often harassed and persecuted, but that didn't hinder the progress of the gospel. Acts is not about the acts of the apostles or the advance of the apostles or even Paul or Peter. It's about the advance of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is here and it's going forth and nothing's going to stop it. Jesus is the king wherever some people submit to him as Lord, his kingdom has come. And that's what it says. The gospel keeps going forward. You don't have to wish it to come. It's already here. Heed the unstoppable progress of the gospel. God's kingdom is advancing around the world, and nothing can stop King Jesus from ruling and reigning forever and ever and ever. His servants might be weak. His servants might be mortal. They might be persecuted, but his kingdom shall endure forever and ever and ever. A few years ago, there were some Southern Baptist missionaries that were killed in a Middle Eastern country. Three of them in a medical missionary. Someone walked in and purposely killed them. But you know, I've heard over the years that their witness and their life and that day of martyrdom, after they were killed, people came and told others who worked at the hospital about their faith in Jesus, and they began house churches. And even though it's still a very difficult, I don't even want to mention the name of the country, there are Christians there, and the gospel is going from house to house, from person to person, because nobody's going to stop the progress of the gospel. Jesus is king, and he will reign forever and ever. You see, it's not enough just to hear the promises of God. To hear the word of God, you need to heed it. You need to do what it says. Hold on and heed his promises. Heed to the overarching message of Scripture. And as you share the gospel, don't get sidetracked in sharing other things. Share Jesus, that Jesus saves. Heed the warnings of Scripture. And heed the truth that the gospel will not be stopped by anyone. Jesus will reign forever and forever and forever. Father, we love you. And with all the saints, we proclaim, Jesus, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you will reign forever and ever and ever. Help me, Lord, to every day bow in submission to you and to your will. Help every person here today to bow in submission to you and to your will, and to receive the forgiveness of sin and the salvation that you will give to any who will believe. Father, if there's some on the edge of believing, I pray that today they would cross over from death to life, that you would speak life to them this morning. I pray that they wouldn't just hear the word. I pray that we wouldn't just hear a message, but we would heed it. We would respond to you in obedience to whatever you would say to us. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.